Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
This is Blurring the Lines with Adam Bell and Peter Nicolaitis, IT entrepreneurs. Adam and Peter take on the topics of technology, business, life, and the pursuit of happiness and blur them together in the 21st century.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening. Welcome to the Blurring the Lines podcast. I'm your host, Adam Bell, and joining me is my co-host, Peter Nicolaitis. How you doing, Peter?
Wunderbar, except that's not what they say down here.
Yeah.
No.
Where is here?
Estoy excelente, right? Here is Mexico City. Mexico City. Ciudad de Mexico? Yeah. So, yeah, coming to you live, well, not live to the people watching the recording, but coming to Adam live for once in a blue moon, well, twice in a blue moon, I guess we're in the same time zone.
Yeah, twice this year.
Twice this year, that's great. My favorite band is performing here in Mexico City. It's their last stop on the North American tour. And my aunt is a flight attendant for Delta, and so she got me relatively cheap standby tickets, and I found an affordable hotel, and I said, why not? So I'm heading to Mexico for the weekend, so here I am.
That looks like a nice hotel room you're in, too.
It's not too shabby. It's an efficiency, you know, it's like a one-room everything, but it's got a little kitchenette, not that I've used it really, and I'm on the seventh floor, so I've got a, you know, view of the city. But this morning I got up early and I was like, what time is sunrise? And it's like, oh, it's in 15 minutes. I was like, perfect. So I got up and I went up to the rooftop to watch the sunrise over the city, which is pretty cool. And had a little breakfast, but I decided for the rest of the day, it's all street food all the time.
So being a just brave soul today.
Well, I mean, it's cooked. Yeah. So it's like I was sitting there watching I passed by this guy who's got a little grill and he does street tacos. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, must have walked by his place a dozen times at this point. And every time I'm walking by, I'm like, I got to stop. And so I decided to go there for, you know, lunch. So for, it's at 50, you know, 10 cents, basically like a dollar or 50 cents a piece. I had street tacos. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like 5 for 50 pesos, so right. 10 pesos a piece, and about 20 pesos to a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So for $5 or less than $5, you know, I had delicious tacos. It's mm-hmm. amazing. And then this morning I had fresh pineapple, you know, juice drink made right from scratch. And so, you know, like I love food, always have, probably always will.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, I like talking with the people in my subpar Spanish. And, you know, sometimes they're, you know, sometimes passable, sometimes non-existent English.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so, but it's nice, everyone's been very patient with me, you know, trying to like practice. And the guy who was just making, he made my lunch, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I speak a little Portuguese and it's similar but different. So he was quizzing me, he wanted to know, like, how do you say, you know, like delicious, flavorful, aromatic, you know, how do you mm-hmm. say these in Portuguese? I was like, it's mesmo, you know, it was almost identical. it was pretty funny because he's asking me almost every word he asked in Portuguese, you know, what's in Portuguese? I was like, that's the same.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. But yeah, got here a couple days ago, no issues. So one issue, you know, so my aunt registered me for the flight. I could have done it myself, but she's like, oh, I'll take care of it for you. But she used my German passport. So, because it's, you know, sometimes a little easier for Germans to get places than it is for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Except Germans aren't TSA pre-checked.
No.
So I got the pleasure of taking all my stuff out of my bag and posing for the pervs in the full body scanner.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily line was short, everything worked out just fine. But you know, for the second time in as many weeks, I had to get up at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Get to the airport. It was a little less stressful than two Saturdays ago, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, and then when we got here, I just took the address from the Airbnb and pasted it into Maps. Mm-hmm. And it wanted to take me to the wrong side of town because Maps, you know, basically looked at it and it got the name of the hotel and it thought that was the street.
Oh.
Luckily, I had a very attentive Uber driver who wanted to triple check the address. And uh-huh. We were like halfway there. And he was like, oh, no, you know, it's wrong. It's, you know, it's bad or whatever. So he's like, you know, add a stop. So I added another stop. And, you know, it was supposed to be like 300 pesos to get me where I was going. The new destination was only like 280 pesos or something. So it was closer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got there. I gave him 400, which is like, you know, 20 bucks or, you know, not a lot, right?
Yeah.
And he was over the moon because, you know, I tipped him like 30% and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dude, he was looking out for me. You know, he could have taken me to the wrong side of town or, you know.
Here you are. And, I dropped you off where you said.
Yep. Vaya con Dios. So, you know, I was happy with that. And so that's it. Yesterday I went to the chocolate museum, which was cool.
Mayordomo.
I don't know exactly where Mayordomo. It's called Museum de Chocolat, but I don't know where.
Oh, okay. That's kind of a name brand of chocolate, like Nestle or Nestle, you know.
Oh no, these are I think it's mucho chocolat. I think it's much chocolate.
But Mayordomo has a lot of stores.
Yeah. Well, they have a store attached to this museum. Mucho chocolate.
Chocolate.
So that was the brand there. And it was cool. It was a refresher for some things because I did similar things when I went and did the coffee and chocolate tours in Costa Rica a couple mm-hmm. years ago. So, but you know, it's like, it's a refresher. And plus you get, you know, the Mexican approach to it. It's like, hey, you know, we invented chocolate or, you know, we popularized it and stuff. And you can buy it in Africa now, but you know, that was basically transplanted. It originated here. And the chocolate that comes from Mexico tends to be better, you know, has less additives, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. and stuff. But I can't argue that it's good. So,
yeah.
So I decided that's what I'm getting for souvenirs for everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing chocolate home.
Yeah, we've got the stuff for, it's essentially hot chocolate. So you boil water and then you mix in the brick of chocolate. You know, you break off a brick. You don't do the whole thing.
Well, it depends how big the brick is.
Yeah.
And how many people.
mm-hmm. But it's not as simple as a process. Like we make hot cocoa now we pour the packet with marshmallows and everything in
someone's
the hot
been doing
water.
Mushroom coffee.
Yeah. Completely ready to go. So it's not completely ready to go, but it's definitely worth doing. That's like mm-hmm. we're having people over Friday night. We should make that as a drink.
Special drink. Yeah. And so far I haven't had any bad coffee here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good, even though one of the places I went, I opted for the Brazilian brand just because I was a little nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
I got that coffee grinder that you recommended.
All right.
I haven't used it. Of course, I've been here, you know, this is my third day and I haven't actually used it yet, though. So I thought about that, too. It was like, as I was getting ready to leave, I hadn't packed it and I hadn't packed my AeroPress. And I was like, should I even bother? Because I'm just going to go out and get stuff at coffee shops. And I was like, no, I bought this stupid thing to travel with me. I am bringing it. So so I brought it. I got that part done. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually used it yet, though. So.
Well, I got my advertisement in the mail from Yeti. They do a magazine, and they've got like a mm-hmm. $199 pour-over set.
Yes. Well, AeroPress just released their travel grinder.
Oh, really?
It's $200 too.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I kind of want to get an AeroPress, the new Pro version, like the glass one. Because mm-hmm. it's going to, you know, less plastic, right? I think plastic is the new global warming, I think. You know, everyone's starting to realize plastic's not good for you.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, it's still got the plastic plunger that's going in there, so it's not going to be completely plastic free. So I'm like, okay, how much is this going to really make a difference? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's a, I think it's like, it's $100+ too or something for that versus a regular, which is like 30 or 40. So
I just don't like to spend a lot of money on my travel gear. I mean, I just spent $150 on a travel router, but like my coffee cup that I take a coffee cup that I'm not loath to lose. And I've got one of those heaters that I put in the water, you know, a water heater that was $7. So, I mean, if something happens and it gets damaged, I'm like, oh, well, I get some more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Not $200 down.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't, the professional AeroPress thing, it's made of glass. I wouldn't be traveling with that. That would be my regular AeroPress would become my travel AeroPress, which it is because that's what I brought with me.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just like, I just don't know, you know, it's like, I don't know, but yeah, you know, wasn't I telling you about that, about being cheap? You know, it's like my threshold is that, you know, $100 isn't what it used to be right now.
So yeah.
Maybe I need to reevaluate that that AeroPress. Yeah. So send me a link to it, would you?
Yeah. Well, so you'd sent me pictures of your tacos from, was that lunch today or yesterday?
Literally right. I was walking back from it when I texted you and said, do you want to report early?
Yep. Yeah. No, those look really good. What I like, I mean, those are loaded with cilantro. And onions. So typically when I get there, I have them like all covered, like what you have there. But by the end of the trip, I like to remove a little bit of the cilantro because I'm like, I've had a lot of cilantros.
You know? Well, I will text you. So this is what I had for dinner last night, which was similar. It was, but it's a, like a little corner restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there last night. It had good reviews on Yelp and Google, and it was just packed, which is always a good sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, but their presentation last night was much more, you know, bare bones. Essentially, mm-hmm. It's here's the taco, here's the meat on it, here it's on a plate.
Yeah.
And that was it. But then they, you know, have like, six different salsas and limes on the mm-hmm. table. So today at the street, you know, and the guy asked me, you know, did I want to take it with me or did I want to eat it right there? And I originally said I would take it with me, but he said, it's going to taste better if you eat it right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll stay. And, you know, so he prepared it with the cilantro, with the onions. And then, you know, the limes were sitting next to me and the two different salsas to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
They were both good. But if I had to pick one to go back to first, I'm probably just going to hit the guy right on the street corner.
So. Yeah, between those two, well, that's the one I would like because I like what he put together. It's all there. It's all it's ready to eat. Put salsa right. on top.
Yep, and I did actually. You know, I didn't take a picture of it. Well, actually, here, yeah. So then after he asked me too, he's like, you know, are you ready to go or you know, uno más? I was like. Uno más. So I had one more. And that one I sent you the picture with salsa on it. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's good stuff right there.
But it's really good. You know, it's not, and you know, when people say like, oh, this isn't like Mexican food. I'm like, you know, it's not that different, really. You know, what we have in the States, it seems pretty close. Although I will say, yeah, and it's probably just in my head, possibly just in my head. I think it does taste a little better down here.
Yeah, I mean, I consider it completely different, even though it is, because it's, I mean, if I get a chimichanga in Mexico, I know it's going to taste different than my U.S. chimichanga, and I'm expecting it to.
Yeah. So, so I'm wondering though, like, what do you think, what's the biggest differentiator when you have like food up there, you know, in Tennessee versus here in Mexico?
I think that they know their audience and they're making food for their audience.
Wait, who? Up here or down here, up here or up there?
Well, okay. Actually in both places, because I mean the Mexicans that I deal, you know, stay with, you know, they have a palate that a food palate that they like, and yeah. they want it that way. And, yeah. you know, when we give it our way, it's like, oh, that's good, but it's so rich.
Interesting. I mean, and again, you know, like, so when I think Mexican, I usually try to find places that are not chains, mm-hmm. right? You know, so I don't consider Chipotle Mexican.
No.
Right. Right. I mean, it's inspired by Mexican stuff, but mm-hmm. you know, not a lot Mexican about that. But we've got a couple, there's a little place, it started as a food truck in Medford. It's called Tenoch. Mm-hmm. And they a couple years ago they spun off another place called El Tacuba, mm-hmm. which is their tapas place. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's pretty good. Definitely more similar to like what I have here, right? Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, there you're going to trendy, fancy, upscale street food.
Yeah.
So it's like high-end, low-end Mexican food. Mm-hmm. You know, and like go there for what I had here for what, $10 up there would probably be like 40.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, that's kind of like, that's a big difference. So, you know, price wise, things are, you know, a little more affordable down here for sure. Mm-hmm. But I am in a touristy section of town, so things are probably a little pricier to reflect yeah. that.
Yeah. One of the things that we like to get, and they make it locally where we go, I mean, I'm sure they make it everywhere. You probably find it in Mexico City, is the enchiladas from the, not enchiladas, shoot, what are the little thing? It's covered in cornbread. It's usually got meat in the center. It's not. It's
tamales.
Tamales. It was on the, so we get tamales, but they make them savory. And they yep. make them sweet.
Yes.
And so you can get like a pineapple flavored or strawberry flavored, and they are sweet, but they're not overly sweet. You know, it's like a semi-sweet yeah. Tamale. Yep. And yeah. those are really good.
In Brazil, they have something similar that's called pamonha. And they make a savory and a sweet version also. Mm-hmm. But they usually, the presentation I've had, it's usually, it looks more like cornbread, you know, it's just yeah. like sliced up and, you know, not like wrapped in the corn or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Go ahead.
Yeah, we get it wrapped in the corn shell and it's baked and steamed. I don't know. It's only wet. So I don't know if it's steamed or just baked that way.
Bacon, there's pour water on it. Americans like it wet. Just serve it like that. That's funny you mentioned though too, is because for the first two restaurants that I went to, I asked for enchiladas verdes,
mm-hmm.
and both times I got upsold or cross sold, and it's so funny because one of them I went to just a little place, you know, little hole in the wall side of the street, and I asked for enchiladas verdes very specifically. But then the waitress asked if I wanted, you know, like something on, you know, on the menu, I guess, which was like the special of the day.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I was like, oh, maybe that's, you know, like I'll take that as an appetizer. So I was like, sure. And I got that. And then at one point she asked, I forget the word, pica something, not pico de gallo. Mm-hmm. But it's basically, it's translates to like hash, you know, so like ground okay. up chicken. Mm-hmm. And of course in my brain, I knew it wasn't the same. I knew it wasn't the same, but my brain was thinking, oh, you know, pico. Yes. I want salsa on my enchiladas verdes. So I said, yes. I think what she was asking was like, hey, do you want this instead?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I got. So then I went to, another place for lunch yesterday, and I asked, oh, enchiladas verdes, yes, perfect, that's what I want. And she said, you want, you know, enchiladas verdes, oh, you know, flipped over the menu, and it was with the mole sauce instead. Oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. So twice I've tried to order that, and twice I haven't gotten it. So maybe for dinner tonight I will actually have enchiladas for real this time, you know?
Yeah. I want enchiladas. what you really want is, no, I want enchiladas. Okay.
Are you sure? I'm like, why is everybody telling me not to order this? You know?
Well, it may be exactly what we like or expect for enchiladas. And the Mexicans are like, oh, you can get it, but it's not any good.
Yeah, exactly. That's just... I don't know if you're right. Yeah, exactly. It's just like this is just like back at home, right? Yeah. It reminds me back when I was a kid. What was his name? Not Kevin Bacon. A guy who looks kind of like Kevin Bacon. Forget his name now. But he was the host of Saturday Night Live. And the whole skit was he wanted to order Super Fire hot wings at this place. Uh-huh. And everyone, you know, all the wait staff and then the manager, everyone, they keep coming out like, are you sure? They're really hot. And, you know, they keep on, you know, trying to tell him not to get it. And he's like, yes, I want the Super Fire hot wing. I know what I'm doing. And finally, you know, they bring it to him. He's like, finally. And he takes a bite and the camera freezes. And it says, you know, like when he, you know, bit into it, you know, his complexion immediately turned red. You know, his eyes turned into slot machine tumblers that landed on the symbol for chili peppers. Yeah. He ran around screaming out into the parking lot, yelling woo woo, and then exploded and, you know, like, turned into a rocket and blew up into space. And on an ironic note, the wing that he bought, that he bit into, was just a regular hot wing and not the Super Fire hot wing that he ordered. Well, I always think of that when I remember our, you know, our 800, 400 degrees hot chicken and
counter. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. I had the baby chicken. You had the hot.
It was pretty good. I had to tell you, some of the salsas that I had at the table yesterday were, you know, they were kicking. I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. But nobody, you know, nobody like tried to stop me or warned me or anything. And maybe they did, but I don't remember anybody saying like, you know, ese en fuego, caliente, or anything like that. They're just like, salsa, 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 salsa. I'm like, okay, thank you. And so,
well, and the green salsa is the hot salsa.
You know, I had that yesterday though, and the green one that I had didn't taste as hot as the other one.
Okay.
So maybe, but maybe it was a slow burn build kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, and you know, everybody makes their salsa a little bit different. So, yep. But typically where we end up is, you know, the red's hot and the green is always hotter.
Green means go for hotter.
Go for hotter.
I'm curious, in the areas that you go, what is like normal dress, normal attire for men out on the street?
So where we go in the rural areas, it's very conservative. So yeah. Men, all Mexican men wear either like a khaki pants or blue jeans. Yep. And like a flannel shirt, a button-up shirt that maybe, yep, like what you're wearing, some will wear that. Some will wear, you know, a long sleeve flannel shirt. Boys and, you know, like more younger, they'll wear t-shirts and, and then children wear shorts. No, yep, men wear shorts and yep, all women wear, you know, longer, more women wear pants than used to, but
yep.
In the rural areas, everybody's very conservative. But then when we go into the cities, it gets more like our cities of like, yep, wow, those are really short shorts. And those are really,
you know. I haven't seen any of those around here. Everything's been fairly conservative. Lots of, you know, skirts and dresses for sure on the women. Mm-hmm. But the men, it like, you know, there's, you got your working class guys, you know, blue collar types. Mm-hmm. They're wearing like, you know, sweatshirts, hoodies, t-shirts, mm-hmm, whatever. But a lot of the guys walking around in like dress shirts, maybe mm-hmm, smart casual, so maybe jeans, but dress shoes.
Yeah, and everybody wears dress shoes unless they're working.
And sport coats, you know, so mm-hmm, I was just like, all right. So I brought a couple of button down long short sleeve shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But just like my regular, you know, my regular like sneaker type shoes and a pair of running shoes, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I'm walking down the street and I'm like, I feel underdressed.
Well, you need to go to the market and find you a guayabara.
Guayabara.
Yeah, it's a type of shirt. It's a kind of a generic name for, you know, it's kind of like Band-Aid is also Band-Aids, you know, but guayabara. So a lot of there are different shirts there. So it's a pullover with, you know, typically a V-neck, not a deep V, but just a V-neck, and then looser in the shoulders and chest. That's one. But then the guayabara they'll typically have a pattern down the front of them.
Yep. I'm looking at it on Wikipedia right now, in fact.
Yeah. So they're, you know,
show notes.
Varying degrees of, you know, lots of guayabara. So I have had others in the past. So like I've got a green one with like a horizontal pattern across the chest. And then I've got an off-white one with, it's like a pattern striped down, you know, but it's a pattern built in. But the last one I just bought, it's blue and it's got kind of like a ridges like that go down, and there's a pattern in there. And it was the most expensive guayabara that I've purchased, but it's a higher quality material, and it was actually a lot cooler and it held less wrinkles.
When you say most expensive though, how much are we talking?
I believe it was close to 45 US.
Wow, that is expensive.
Yeah. But I bought it I was in the market in Oaxaca, and you know, like I said, I've bought other guayabaras, but I was like, you know, I want a nice one. I want a, you know, a dress one. And this one was really nice and dressy.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look up and see where's the nearest market for me to go check out and see what I can find.
Yeah.
I'm making a note right now. I've just added guayabara into the show notes as well.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What else is going on?
Let's see here. So I have a nifty when we get to that point. But we've been pretty nifty of Mexico. I'm trying to think what else in. What about, so they've just finished the Day of the Dead.
Yep.
So that was last weekend. Yep. Or the second of, because this is the 14th. So two weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. Are they still laying up fireworks?
I haven't seen any fireworks. I saw a couple of signs at some. So last night I walked out one of the main, definitely felt more touristy frat party areas, you know, yeah, with like bars on either side, loud music blasting, people standing outside saying, come in, come in, come in. That I saw a couple of signs for, you know, Day of the Dead specials still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen any fireworks though. So.
Well, and typically they're not fireworks. They are fire explosions. They go up and make a loud boom. And you would feel them. I mean, you'd feel them even in your room, but if they're
have not had the pleasure.
Well, where we go, there's a lot of, celebrations surrounding the Catholic Church, and they do a lot of things. If there's a wedding, if there's a funeral, if there's any sort of party, there's always fireworks.
Right.
Like we've been in places where they're either in a wake for somebody has died. And one of the things that they do is they'll have a typically it's a young man, but they'll have a couple of young men who are setting off the fireworks. And so they run down the street, boom, boom, big fireworks, and then people walk, and then they just keep doing that ahead of the procession all the way down. And they do that for wakes, they do that for when they're representing a saint, like they'll be walking on celebration of that saint and honoring them, and so lots of fireworks.
I remember, you know, there are a couple, like in Boston, sometimes they'll do fireworks, like, you know, on like a couple of other holidays besides just you know, Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I was in Brazil, it was the first time, like New Year's Eve was fireworks galore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was like more impressive than most 4th of July fireworks celebrations that I've seen up in the States. So mm-hmm. I remember that. That was pretty cool too, because that was another thing I spent on a rooftop, you know. So rooftop New Year's Eve fireworks going off all around and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it was pretty slick.
So then, you know, one more thing on food. So one of the things that I get for breakfast, which is mm-hmm. really good, it's eggs, and it's salsa, and it's like in a soup, and it's like in this tomato salsa soup, and a big thing of eggs with onions and spices and everything in it, and it's really good for breakfast. And I forget exactly what it's called, but it's like a huevos and sopa or sopa, or yeah. And you know what chilaquiles are.
So enlighten me, because I think I just learned what that was yesterday.
So chilaquiles is kind of a generic term. It's a soup with tortillas
okay.
that have been cut up and put into it.
Not the same. Nope. I learned something else. Anyway, carry on. I'm going to look up what it was that I had yesterday, though.
But sometimes the chilaquiles are a good breakfast. But I forget what it's called. But I mean, it's eggs and salsa in a like a soup, and it is mm-hmm. really good.
I mean, it sounds like what's the word, like an African dish, which is like eggs and tomato sauce.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? I can't remember the name of it. I've made it a bunch of times myself, and I don't remember what it's called. Super easy to make, though. You know, basically make up mm-hmm. your own. I mean, if you're slumming it, you can just open up a can of tomato sauce or something like that
and yeah.
you know, put it in. But it's like poached eggs in, mm-hmm. you know, but it's poached in there. Listener, write to me. What's the name of that? You know, yeah. eggs in. You know what? Hang on a second. I have an assistant. Let's ask my assistant. What's the name of the African dish with eggs in tomato sauce? Let's see if I get that right. Shakshuka.
Yes. Shakshuka.
Shakshuka. Yep. It sounds kind of like what you're saying, but as opposed to like a, you know, tomato sauce, it's, you know, Mexican mm-hmm. style salsa. Now, what I had yesterday was, I think it's called chocoles,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a little ground up. I don't know what it was exactly. It was like seeds or something, but I had it. It was very salty mm-hmm. and I had it with my chips and guacamole.
Okay.
And they covered it around that. And I was like, oh, this is, yeah, no idea what this is. And I ate it. I was like, oh, it's very salty, but it had a really good flavor. Mm-hmm. And I asked the guy what it was, and he explained to me in rapid Spanish. So I caught like none of it.
Yeah.
But I think it was called chocoles. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was thought when you said chile, whatever it was you just called. Yeah, which is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, those are good too. But chilaquiles are kind of like, you know, everybody has the way that they did it or their mother did it. And
yes,
and it's, they're all good in their own way. You know?
Yep. There you go. So yeah, I mean, and that's the nice thing, you know, is the individuality, right? It's like, you're not going to find this recipe anywhere else. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, or if you do, it's strictly coincidental, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, music wise, I know you're, what are you, have you seen anything there or done anything?
Just a couple of guys standing on the street, you know, playing violin or, you know, or something like that. So haven't really done any music scene yet, but yeah, the big concert, of course, you know, this is like, it's a rock concert. It's not, you know, traditional yeah. anything that I'm going to. So have not done you from the Music City any sort of justice
mm-hmm.
on this trip.
So if you go, if you go to the market, you'll probably see some other things. There's pottery, there's black pottery, and it looks like it's hematite. It's not. I mean, it's black clay that's been fired and glazed. And that is real famous from the state of Oaxaca. So if you see any of that, it's typically considered Oaxacan pottery. And it's like if you wanted to have a nice souvenir, that's a nice souvenir. And it really says Mexico. You won't turn it over and find made in Taiwan. But they also have a Oaxacan pottery that is green. It's kind of like a marbled green. It's a green glaze, and that one's pretty popular from Oaxaca. I would say you'll probably find that in a market too. And you can get little things. And then those, what I like to get, sometimes I get people gifts, is those little wooden figures that are highly colored. You know, like they make chihuahuas and birds and dragons and I forget, that art has a name, the wood art.
Got me on that one. I think I know what you're talking about, but I definitely don't know the name for it.
Yeah. So, Alebrije. A-L-E-B-R-I-J-E. Alebrije. Okay.
Yep. Don't know that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I might get some little knickknack to put on a shelf, but I'm more leaning towards just consumable, if I see something that really strikes my fancy, then I'll probably get it. But I think that's part of, like, you know, growing up with parents who just had to collect and hoard every single thing they had, like they could. Mm-hmm. I'm like, chocolate makes a really good souvenir, or maybe, you know, one of those shirts, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm leaning towards. Yeah. Like something small like that, maybe one thing. Sure. You know,
yeah.
that I could see.
Maybe those are Oaxacan, because every one of these say Oaxaca, and maybe that's a common Oaxacan art.
Flip it over and says made in Oaxaca.
Yeah. Yeah. We, so Elizabeth and I have a shelf in our bedroom, and we get one little thing like that to put on our shelf for the places we've been.
Okay.
So like we got things from Fiji and Seychelles and everywhere. Mexico, of course, got to have some Mexico stuff in there. And, yeah, but we're not really collectors of anything either, but we like to have, you know, one little thing for a reminder of where we've been.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing, is like something small, but you know, maybe it's going to be that shirt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So while, I don't know if you saw me, but while you were looking, or while you were talking, I looked up the closest place where I can buy, excuse me, salsa, guayabera. And apparently there's a guayabera shop about 700 feet away.
Oh, there you go.
So I have no excuse.
Oh, that's fun. You go down Berlin Street, then London Street.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I'm home. That was a funny thing too. I was talking with someone early, just before this call, and she was asking me, like, you know, could you live there? And I was like, hey, it's a little too soon to tell. You know, I definitely could acclimate to this, to the area and stuff, but I feel like I felt a little more at home in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely here. One issue is, you know, the technology, right? That was another thing too, is coming out of the airport. So apparently there's this citywide Wi-Fi. I forget what it's called. It's like, you know, like CDMX.
Mm-hmm.
Wi-Fi para todos, you know, like, or, you know, or Wi-Fi for everyone, which, you know, yes, I signed on to, but made sure my VPN was, you know, mm-hmm. connected right off the bat. But it wasn't like, as soon as I stepped foot out of the airport, it died.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't get, so I wasn't getting any reliable cell coverage either. So I was trying to call an Uber and I couldn't get it to work. So like, to find out, I had to walk back into the airport, get spotty Wi-Fi, find out where the Uber was, walk back out, try to meet him, wait 5 minutes, he's not there, walk back into the airport, get Wi-Fi, you know. And so we went and played that game for it. And while I was there, I also downloaded a thing that's called Air Allo, which is a, you know, a virtual, an eSIM provider. Tried that, no difference, because it had me roaming on the same cellular network.
Yeah.
But what was funny is because now I have two SIMs, two active eSIMs on my phone. So I took my father's old phone number and I'm still keeping that active for some time just in case, you know, you still get some text or some calls to it. And I noticed that when they both enrolled, my primary number was on one cell carrier and the secondary was on a different one.
Yeah.
But the only thing I could get out of them was Verizon saying, hey, welcome to your new travel plan. We're going to be billing you this much.
Yeah.
And then nothing.
Yeah.
So I was like, not really cool. That, you know, that wasn't too thrilled about that. And a few times I've had the hotel Wi-Fi just cut out on me. Mm-hmm. So definitely the communications infrastructure feels a little bit subpar so far. Mm-hmm. But it's been manageable, right? You know, so far I've been able to work around it.
Well, it's been where I go to in Oaxaca City and even in Hushlawaka, I have really good cell phone signal the whole time I'm there. It's LTE. Mm-hmm. It's not 5G, mm-hmm. but
yep.
If I'm sending a text or an email, it's no problem. But yep. You know, Mexico City is, you know, the largest geographic city in the world. So
yeah, well, I mean, my hope was though, this is also the largest city in Mexico. Like if anywhere is going to have good, you know, communications infrastructure, I would think it would be here, you know, so, maybe Cancun. I don't know, you know,
but, yeah. Well, so I suspect it's better right where you are than it is further out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure about that. Mm-hmm. No question. Yeah. Well, what else? So the only other thing is like, I've spent nearly the last 2 weeks recovering from my run.
Yeah.
And it's starting to feel like, I think I'm at about 80-90% as of like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I did my upper body strength routine yesterday, so my first new program from my trainer, and I'm supposed to be on, you know, my running coach said you're on rest for 2 weeks, and that was supposed to go through Sunday, but I messaged them this morning. I was like, hey, I'd really like to get a run in Mexico before I leave, because, you know, that's kind of my thing, is like, you know, run every country that I'm in. So I want to log a run. If I don't hear from them, I'll probably just do like a 5K or something.
Yeah.
But they've got a huge park that's about 2 miles from where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it looks pretty big. So I'm thinking maybe I'll walk there, run around it, and then walk back, and that'll be my thing for tomorrow. So,
no, that'll be cool.
I have not tried public transportation in the city yet so far. Haven't had to.
Mm-hmm.
Being a little hesitant about that. I don't know. You know, it seems a little more imposing than it was in Berlin. So I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I have, you know, I've not done the buses. I have done taxis.
Mm-hmm.
Taxis are fairly straightforward. So those haven't been big.
So I was warned that taxis, like, you know, like there might be a lot of people posing as, you know, like posing as taxis.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make sure you get an official taxi, but also they said Uber is safer. But one of the things that's differentiator is that the drivers prefer to be paid in cash here.
Okay.
And they said that sometimes it's not uncommon if you select the default with credit card, they'll arrive, see that you want to pay with credit card, and then drive off.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So that was interesting because, you know, the first thing I had to do was get some cash. And of course, the first ATM I tried didn't work.
Mm-mm.
So I went to the next one. I think it was a Santander bank. And that one gave me my money.
Mm-hmm.
They also offered to helpfully, you know, offered to do the conversion and charge me the conversion fee.
Yeah.
Which is just a scam. It's just a free charge on top of things in addition to like the ATM surcharge.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, thank you. But then they gave me a couple of pretty big bills too. And, you know, when I'm walking around on the street and the average, you know, I'm spending 20 to 50 pesos, I was not comfortable handing somebody a bill for 1,000.
Oh, yeah. That's typically what I like, thousands, and I like 500s.
I don't like those on the street, though, when I'm buying like a cup of juice, you know. So I went to the bank and went to HSBC, oriented myself, went into the bank. There's a little kiosk there. I looked at it and I was like, you know, figured out, was like, okay, what are you looking for? You know, are you a customer of HSBC? No. Do you want to talk about lending this or other services, like other services, window service? Check. Got my deli style number. I was next in line, waited, walked up to the guy, you know, used Google Translate, asked the guy, can I get smaller bills? He said, no problem. He took them, ran them under the scanner to make sure they looked legit.
Yep.
Then stuffed them into, you know, he counted all by hand and then he stuffed it into a little bill counter. Then he stuffed them back in the bill counter twice after turning it to show it to me to make sure. And I was like, I gave him the thumbs up, and now I'm walking around with a wad of much smaller, more palatable bills.
Yeah, I got, so last time we have to pay for most of the things in cash. So hotels, travel, all that stuff, restaurants, all paid in cash, because most don't take a credit card. Now, more do than they used to. But we can go to Regions Bank and say, hey, I need X number of pesos, you know, from the US dollars converted, you know, I need all these in pesos. Well, I made a mistake and didn't tell the guy who was doing from the church to do it. I was like, we need everything in thousands. Don't want anything in smaller bills. And we got thousands, 500s, 200s, 100s, and 50s. And it made for a huge wad of bills.
So why do you prefer, like, so if you're buying something small, why do you want to have a big bill? Because I always thought that looks a little conspicuous, and also it seems like it's a possible inconvenience. I mean, it's like giving somebody $100 bill to buy a cup of coffee in the States. It's, you know, like that would.
Oh no, I mean, like if I were buying something for 20 pesos, I wouldn't want to give them 1,000 peso. I would want to have as small as convenient. But just for my convenience of carry, I mean, 500 seemed to be the nice equal. You know, for what you're going to carry around, you know, 500s or 200s, everybody can break a 200.
Yeah, you know,
they've got that in their pocket.
Yeah, sorry, had a sneeze alert there. I don't have a general. I'm just thinking about it. It's like I generally try not to give somebody more than like what, two or three times what I'm buying. You know, so like if I'm spending 20, I don't want to give them 100, and if I'm buying 100, I don't want to give them a 5, you know, something like that. I never really thought about it, but I have this subconscious this is too big of a bill. And I don't know how much that is practical. Sometimes, you know, I've done that back in the States. I was like, can you break a 50? And they'll look at me, sure, no problem. But I think that goes back to when I was a kid, when we would be catering, you know, places with my folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got like ones and fives and someone gives me a 50. I'm like, I can break this, but, you know, it's going to drain all my ones or something. You know? So,
I think about that, too. I mean, because I've had that happen on more than one occasion. You're like, too big. Get anything smaller.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't like being an inconvenience to somebody else, you know, especially when I'm there on the street, you know, I don't want to make an awkward situation. And then, you know,
This guy's got so much money, I can't change it all.
And then there's that. that's the other thing too, is like, I've felt perfectly safe all around, you know, this neighborhood and stuff. So you know, I think I made the right spot. Even the only part where I wandered out, well, I didn't wander deliberately, went a little bit to the north to what I called like the auto zone. I got into this place where like every side, like on every corner and on both sides of the streets, it's all either a repair shop or mechanic shop, or they're selling, you know, selling tires and rims. And I was just like, did they film a Fast and the Furious episode here? It seems expecting Vin Diesel to pop out any minute now.
Well, you know, you're you're a big city boy. So, I mean, whenever I'm in really any city, not just Mexico, any city, I am, you know, constantly diligent. I'm always, who's around me? You know, yep. am I alone? Are we, you know, am I here? And are there five big guys over there looking at me?
I don't know. Let's go. Here. I was going to say, let's walk over and say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I did, but I've been definitely like one of the biggest thing is like, you know, not walking around with my phone in my back pocket. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've got my flip belt, so you know, I have my credit cards and my ID and any big bills I stuff into my flip belt and tuck that under my shirt and under my pants. Mm-hmm. And then I've got, you know, a lot of smaller bills and my mm-hmm. phone in my pockets.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that way, you know, plausible deniability. Take a wad of 20s. Mm-hmm. Don't touch the thousands but I haven't been carrying the thousands because I got them broken. So
anyway. Yeah. I'm the same way. I don't, I usually have I'm wearing a backpack. So I've got mm-hmm. I've really got my wallet, my money in my backpack stuffed in the bottom place where somebody can't just easily pickpocket it. I mean, these pickpockets are pretty slick, but, then some cash in my pocket.
Well, that's what they say also, and I've seen several people do it too, is, you know, you wear not a full-on backpack, but a smaller something like this,
mm-hmm.
but you wear it up front.
Yeah.
So, you know, I see a lot of that. So it's more like, you know, kangaroo style. So you're mm-hmm. carrying your stuff there. So I just haven't, the only time I went out with a backpack though, was when I needed to buy water. I mm-hmm. wore that on my back.
Yeah.
I figured if someone really wants to pickpocket 3 liters of water off of me, sure, go for it. That'll be fun.
They need that anyway. They need that more than me. I'll go.
I was gonna say you probably need some more, exactly. but if they could manage to do that and me not noticing it, then they deserve it, man. Kudos. hats off. So
we're cool. Well, I've got a nifty, but it's completely unrelated to what we've been talking today. Today's been a Mexico travel day.
Well, hold that thought for just 1 second. Let me.
You
just
got a nifty
up.
To replace it?
Okay. Well, I have a not so nifty.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing: my freaking GL INET router has not been reliable.
Huh.
It has anytime, and I had problems with it in Berlin, and I had problems here. And all I can think is that if I don't have a rock solid internet connection, its tail scale implementation is unreliable. Hmm. So I tested it extensively at home and I would route it behind the tail scale network at home on my Fios connection, worked beautifully every mm-hmm. time. But anytime I've tried to get onto a, you know, anytime where you have like the slightest hiccup or glitch in the ISP or hotel wireless mm-hmm. or that slow AF Airbnb wireless that I was mm-hmm. at or coffee shop, it's just been really intermittent and unreliable. And it, you know, the only symptom is suddenly just there's no internet, you know, and that's it. And that's happening here too.
Do you have it set up to go through your exit node at home, or do you have it just to go through tail scale?
I tried it with both. I tried just enabling it and also, but the whole point is to use it with an exit node. Because if I don't have that, then there's no purpose. I could use it to get access back to, you know, my systems. But the whole point is I want to use this as a VPN to secure my connection.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed like when I flipped it and went to NordVPN instead, then it worked fine.
Hmm.
So it seemed to be, you know, but again, also I could go to tail scale on my iPad or on my phone. And that would work fine. Mm-hmm. But doing it behind the router was a little flaky. So I'm just like, not sure. And, it, you know, sometimes it worked a little bit and it would, you know, but then like 20 minutes later, I was just like, I'm waiting. Nothing's happening. So, yeah, it's been kind of.
We'll see, because I've got mine. I'll be traveling with it pretty soon. So,
yeah.
But I also have the Tailscale app on my computer, on my phone, and on my iPad.
Yeah, it's a good backup. But, you know, Scott, when he was in Japan with his, seemed to run fine for him. He didn't have any of the issues. Now, the thing is, too, is I think, I don't know, you might have gotten the same version that he did, but he and I had slightly different versions.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I think they were similar, if not the same firmware versions and same version of the Tailscale app. So not mm-hmm. sure why it would be any different. So I don't know.
Yeah, mine was the new one with the Wi-Fi 7. I thought that so
all three of us probably have different versions then at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So mine's got the Wi-Fi 7 and the Wi-Fi 7 travel router, dual band. Cause it'll do it'll bond two Wi-Fi antenna signals together, which is pretty cool.
Don't have that, can't say that I do. Maybe I should upgrade my router on Black Friday and see if it's any better, but frankly, you know, I don't know, it's nice to have. And again, if I was going to be staying in one place for, you know, I'd say more than a week or so, I would say it's probably worth it. Mm-hmm. But in general, you know, it doesn't really take much for me to turn the Tailscale app on my endpoint and go from there. So
no.
It's like, doesn't work. And as long as it's me, you know, like if I had a travel companion who was less tech savvy and whom I was more worried about, you know, their devices getting hacked, then maybe I would have a little more incentive. But yeah.
So maybe I thought that just by connecting Tailscale, by just connecting the service, that mm-hmm. it was doing a VPN, but you were just going out some public IP that they had.
But that it doesn't. To do that, you need to buy the Mulved VPN service on top of that. If you have that, then, and that's enabled, then yes, you've got a VPN connection through Mulved as a result. But okay. For me, all it does is it brokers a VPN connection back into my home. But it's a split tunnel. So anything, if I'm going into my home with Tailscale enabled, that is connected and secured. But if I'm just going to like Google, that's going right out, you know, not routing through home. So it's not VPN'd or anything.
Maybe it's your exit node.
Except it works fine when I just do it on the app.
Mm.
That's the thing. There's definitely something with the router. I just haven't figured out exactly what it is just yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's the anti-nifty for today.
Anti-nifty. We've invented a new category, a not so nifty. Well, maybe we've already had that category. I don't know. But tell me, what's your nifty about? It doesn't have to be related to Mexico.
So my nifty is Send. It is an application that works with WordPress.
Okay.
And it's a light version of Infusionsoft or HubSpot.
Okay. And, not what I was thinking of.
Yeah. And so you can do email campaigns and you can build some basic workflows. Now you can't do big workflows, but you can go out to your website and what I did is I created a form that if you go to my website, you go to newsletter, put in your email address, it enrolls you in a list, you know, the newsletter list, and then it sends you a welcome email. Hey, thanks, Peter, for signing up. And here's the workflow, or here's, you know, right now the email I'm sending is not a good one. It's just a template email, but I would, you know, test the workflow. And now you're in the list, and then I've got you in my newsletter list, and then I can create a workflow to send emails to that list, just like Infusionsoft, but in a very basic sense.
So I was thinking of Firefox Send, which was a service offered by the Mozilla Foundation to allow you to send up to, like, it was basically a file transfer app, a free file transfer, like WeTransfer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was something that was discontinued like 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So not the same thing. So,
well, the cool thing about it is that it works with Elementor.
Yep.
So your form that you build it with Elementor, and you go to the WordPress for your site, and there it adds just a link, you know, in your WordPress site. So you just click that section and it populates a screen so you can work all right there in WordPress. And that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So yeah, Infusionsoft, and you're using this to send to market Lavender and stuff, I'm assuming.
Yep. Market Lavender, and then my wife and I are working on a new podcast.
Do tell.
Well, it's in its infancy right now, but we're looking at building a combination travel and associated with Lavender podcast.
The Lavender Cast?
The Lavender Cast. Sweet. But it'd be more focused on travel, but it will reference the Lavender Farms as well as fishing and travel.
All right. I see a trend here. So that's pretty cool. Cool. Well, on that note, why don't we wrap it? I was going to say, we'll put a pin in this, but no, let's stick a fork in this because I think this episode's pretty good. So listeners, if you want to get a hold of us and forgotten how you found us already, you can find us at blurringthelinespodcast.com. You can find Adam at rrlavenderfarm.com. And you can find me at nicolaitis.com. And I think that's all I need to say. And with that, I think we should just push
the big red button.
To contact either us or our guests, visit blurringthelinespodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, do us a solid and subscribe to our podcast and leave us a 5-star review in iTunes, Google Play Store, or wherever you found us.